Hello guys, this is it's a great honour. This is my first kind of talk as interim leader, so you know, no pressure. I've been thinking about for a while actually, about what we should say, what I should say, and what I will say is this: I feel a conviction that we should really begin to talk about what it looks like to embrace 2020 and what it looks like for us as a church to live in the new normal. And also, I think there's two things there. There's the sense of we're in a season of transition. So as a church, we're in a season of transition. Mick finished at the end of August. I stepped in on Tuesday, 1st September, as interim leader. So we are in a season of transition, in a leadership transition. And I feel in many ways, some of the thinking around transition applies to where we're at as a nation in terms of all of 2020 has brought to us huge amounts of change. Like, our way of life is different. I was just thinking that this week, dropping the kids off at school, like, it is different. So, you think about start of lockdown, everything shut down, and now things are opening partially, new normal. It's like, how do we navigate this season? So over the next couple of months, that's what we're going to be thinking about, how to navigate this season, both in terms of our church, a season of transition, but also this new normal, whatever that is. And today I want us to think about transition, this subject of transition, this the topic of change. And this comes out of a couple of months of reflecting and thinking about, reflecting on my own personal journey in this season. Clarissa and I were called back to Sheffield 4.5 years ago. And so just been thinking about all of that stuff. And you know, this is what I want to talk about. And it's kind of a little weird, so bear with me. But it's this set idea that to transition well is to embrace loss. Okay, that, I know you probably, that comes across as a little weird. But hear me out. See, change is part of life, isn't it? And changes happen all the time, whether we want them to or not. And this really came into focus when I was having a conversation with somebody the other day who was talking about their child who's going off to university. I thought, wow, that's a massive change. I mean, our kids are 9, 5, nearly 6, and nearly 2. So we're a long way off that season. But I thought, God, that is a big deal, isn't it? That is a big deal, your child going to university. It's a big deal if you do go to university, but it's a change, like a change. They're no longer necessarily in the house all the time. They're living in another place. They're functioning as adults, kind of cleaning for themselves, washing all that, you know, 9 yards. It's a big change. But actually, there's a deeper change, isn't there? There's a personal change, and I think that's where transition kicks in. You see, transition is identity driven. It's soul driven. It's something that happens to us. It's as a result of change. It's actually, people say it's a psychological response to change. So whereas, staying on the theme of your child going to university, say you've got your child goes off to university, that's an external change, they're off to university, then there is a deep internal journey that you go through because life has now really changed, and it questions it's a change that is related to identity, and that's what transition is. And in some, and we've gone through that as a church. So some of us have, or some of you guys will have been in church for a long time, and in all of your time at St. Thomas's STC, you'll have known Mick and Tricia as your leaders. Some of you will have known other leaders before, but for many, you'll only have known Mick and Tricia. For some people, Mick may have married you, or he may have baptized your church. So those kind of life events, he was there as the leader. And Mick and Tricia had this amazing ability to be the kind of calming presence through the various storms of life, that consistent voice as we walk through that season, and now they have retired. So we find ourselves as a church in this place of change. We find ourselves in this season of transition, of moving from one leader to the next. And as a nation, we find ourselves in this season of transition, of one way of life embracing a new way of life. And so the question is, what does the Bible have to say to us today on the subject of transition and on the subject of dealing with a sense of loss? So I want to read from John chapter 11, verses 33 to 44. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was desperately moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who have opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he's been in there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he'd said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." So in John's Gospel, we count this amazing story of Lazarus. And so who is Lazarus? Well, when we think of the name Lazarus, we often associate it with death to life. And he's a personal friend of Jesus. He's the brother of Mary and Martha, who are significant characters in the Gospels, particularly in the way that they connect to Jesus and how Jesus connects with them. And it's at a point in John's Gospel where Jesus is beginning to turn his face, his attention towards Jerusalem. And that phrase of turning his face towards Jerusalem is just the culmination of the knowledge that Jesus knows that he is going to embrace crucifixion. He is going to embrace the principalities of the power, and he will rise on Easter Sunday. But there is something really significant about this particular episode in the life of Jesus, which I think reveals something to us about how we deal with loss, how we respond to loss, both in terms of in our own lives, in a season of transition, the loss that we may feel in terms of our church transition, with the loss that we may feel because we're in a season where life is changing for us. And it might be the sense of loss we feel because of all the things that are happening in the world around us at the moment. And this is what we know. We know Jesus has been off travelling, and a word has got to him that Lazarus is ill, that he's dying. And we know that Jesus knows this stuff, because we know that Jesus is the Son of God. His identity has been made perfectly clear, because John has told us at the beginning of his gospel that one of the great facets of Jesus, that he inhabits both divinity and humanity. And he tells us that before Jesus is born of Mary, we know that he is present in the creation story. And one of Jesus' roles is that his words bring life. So his words speak creation into being. So John makes the very, very clear point that we know that Jesus is incredibly powerful. He's part of the Trinity, that he speaks creation into being. And we know that he's a healer. So we know one of the facets of the kingdom and of Jesus' inauguration of the kingdom, of the healings and the miraculous, is drawing attention to the age that is to come. So he embodies that. But there is something really interesting here in verse 35. When Jesus inquires about the man, We're told this. It's the shortest. It's actually the shortest scripture in the Bible, and it says this: Jesus wept. Just two words: Jesus wept. And so that kind of raises some questions for us, because in verse 37 it says there's some of the crowds that are onlooking, and bearing in mind in this kind of culture and context, death is not hidden like it is in the Western world. People wouldn't necessarily put on they wouldn't hide it from people, as the temptation certainly is for our culture, is to hide death from others. It's a very public thing. There's a huge amount of wailing. It's a very extrovert process. There is absolutely no doubt in mind that this family is grieving because of the death of Lazarus. And because there's such a spectacle around this grief, there is people who would know the family, be interconnected, have come now, gathered around to see what's going on. And in verse 37, it says that some of them who would have known Jesus says, could not he who have opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying? So there's a kind of question in the crowd about, well, if Jesus can heal a man who is blind, then why couldn't he have stopped Lazarus dying? I mean, it's a great question. And that question, in some senses, captures the questions that we all have when we face really difficult situations. Like, God, if you are who you say you are, why am I experiencing this right now? And it's a good question to think about, because in terms of response to COVID, if you look at Twitter, for example, you see all kinds of Christians having all kinds of views about what God is doing in COVID, on the causes of COVID, and what's he saying to the church. Some of those are good, some of them are a little wacky. But what this tells us is in the response to this situation, Jesus weeps. Okay, he wept. So what? That is an important thing to think about, because when we associate the sovereignty of God, as in that God is in total control of everything, there can be a feeling that he's removed from a situation. So if we face difficult situations, you say, well, God's in control, or he's going to use it for good. But when people say that, it can have this feeling that God is distant from us, or distant from me, or distant from you in the moments that you're experiencing a challenge or a pain. But actually what we see here is Jesus very publicly weeps. And he's not wailing like the others, but there's this deep sense of grief, this deep sense of sadness. And theologians tell us there is two reasons for that. The first one is because Jesus is grieving at the state of the world, because it isn't as it should be. Cast your mind back to the beginning of Genesis, where God creates the world, and it's good, and it's right, and it's beautiful, and the vision that God has for the people and the earth. And in that moment, the death of his friend, death, Paul tells us, is the final enemy. It is the very essence of all that is wrong in the world, is to us an insight into the reality that the world there is sin in the world, there is sin in us, there is disease, there is hatred, there is discord. I mean, just put the news on. I mean, we're seeing it seemingly more than ever. There is global pandemics. And in that moment, Jesus weeps. C.S. Lewis, writing in a book called The Magician's Nephew, he kind of captures this tension between God as supremely powerful and yet supremely close in this way. It's a conversation between Diggory and Aslan, and Diggory's mother is dying, and this is what he says: "But please, please, can't you give me something that will cure mother?" Up till then, he'd been looking at the lion's great feet and the huge claws on them. Now, in his despair, he looked up at his face. What he saw surprised him as much as anything else in his whole life, for the tawny face was bent down near his own, and wonders of wonders, great shining tears stood in the lion's eyes. They were such big, bright tears, compared with Diggory's own, that for a moment he felt as if the lion must really be sorrier about his mother than he was himself. My son, said Aslan, I know your grief is great. So there's this sense in which certainly C.S. Lewis is making the point that God is close. Aslan, the Jesus character, when Diggory's pouring out his heart, is moved by the pain of the situation. And we see here in John's Gospel that Jesus is moved by the reality of Lazarus, that he's died, and that death represents all the stuff in the world that is wrong. And then we see something really interesting, because we see that Jesus looks up to heaven, he prays. We know the story, we've just read the story, that Lazarus walks out. And as he walks out, his grave clothes are hanging off, and it's an insight into the call of Jesus, that Jesus does work through difficult situations, that God does work through difficult situations, that God does work through pandemics, that God does work his purposes through difficult things in life. But it's not abstract or far, but it's one of somebody who has compassion, who is close to us, who is with us. And as we see later in John's Gospel, as Jesus begins to predict his death and all the events of Holy Week, we see in that moment that the death of Lazarus and Jesus' response is the foretaste of Jesus' walking into Jerusalem and all that entails. That Jesus is the suffering servant who takes on the sin, the agony of death, to free us, to bring us freedom. And I've been thinking about this and many other things, and thinking about how does this kind of tie in with transition, because transition always starts with loss. People talk about transition in three phases. The first phase is a sense of loss. The second is a kind of embracing a place where you're not quite sure what's happening. And the third place is the new thing. It's a bit like we see the cross on Good Friday. Something dies, the silence of Easter Saturday, the resurrection of Sunday. Management consultants talk about the three process of transition, and yet we see the Son of God in the Bible going through something very similar, in a similar kind of way. So what does it mean for us in this season? I think it means that if you're going through, most of the people I've talked to, both in church and out church, have found this year really hard. And so it is a season of transition, and when any transition always is accompanied by a sense of loss. You might not know it at first, but you certainly experience it. What does it mean? It means that we go, in terms of interpreting the times, we go to Jesus, who is the very cornerstone, the foundation of faith. And with our sense of loss, we go to him, who Isaiah tells us is familiar with our ways. So if you're experiencing a sense of loss right now, the temptation is to withdraw from a distant God, but actually he's not distant here. He's weeping with those who weep with Lazarus. He reveals his heart. That's the first thing. And the second thing for us as a church is this, that if we're going to transition into what it is that God wants us to be, then thinking about loss, to transition well, is to embrace loss. For example, the Spirit of God tells us to plant churches. He makes it clear that that's what we're meant to do. What a glorious thing that is. That will bring life to the city. It's kind of like Lazarus walking out of the grave. There's life. And that's what we're called to do, is bring life to the city. But it's accompanied with a sense of loss. Let me explain. When I was at Holy Trinity Brompton in London, I remember seeing churches planted. It was an amazing thing to see. And I remember the then vicar at the time, Sandy Miller, who would say, church planting is bittersweet. It's sweet because it's going on to bring life to an area, and that's where I was in London. But it's bitter because we're saying goodbye to people we love. It's a transition into what God wants. And I think as a church, we need to embrace this idea of transition and a sense of loss and doing that well, because God may have us do that. And if we want to walk into what God has for us, we need to be able to hold open-palmed all that God has, and not let a fear of loss keep us holding on to the stuff that we have. We need to give it away freely. And the other thing I've been thinking about is okay, church planting, that's quite a big thing. But what about our clusters and our missional communities? What would it look like for us to see some changes there and for us to begin to embrace areas of where we live or places where currently we're not connecting with? Well, that would be super exciting. It would be a kind of, that'd be that sense of a Lazarus moment, walking out life being released. But it would also be a sense of loss, because we'd be saying we wouldn't be meeting with perhaps the people we've met with the last 2, 3, 4 years. It would be a sense of loss. But it's not a loss that leads to despair, it's a loss that leads to hope, because what this story of Lazarus tells us is that God is with us in the midst of the loss. But the loss isn't a loss of despair, it's a loss of hope, because God does work his purposes. And I think my heart for our church is that we do go through this season of transition. We don't just skip over it. The next vision, we're going to press on. Actually, that we just take a moment to be still, that we cut back some stuff and we allow the Spirit of God to work within us, because a transition is always identity driven. It's soul driven. It's the response to change. And we've had a leadership change. And my heart for us in this season is that we keep in step with the Spirit. What it is that he wants to say, what is it he's wanting to teach us, what does he want to reveal to our church about the next season, what does he want to say to you personally, into your life, into your family, what is it that he wants to say? The other day I was washing up and a song came on. I was listening to a song on YouTube, and it's a song called Seasons. It's originally by Hillsong, but this is a cover. And it's a beautiful song. And I just would love to play it right now and just encourage you. I hope that what I've said has made sense. But if it hasn't, I'm just going to pray the Spirit of God untangles it all and there's something. But I'll leave us with this: to transition well is to embrace loss. And I pray that as we just sit and be still, that this song, that the Spirit of God can minister to us with this song. Thank you so much for listening.